Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your hosts, Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
The best guests, the best insight.
Lofton with his team down by two, to the corner, Caputo! No good! And it's over! St. Louis is going dancing!
All backed by over 40 combined years of covering the biggest events in St. Louis sports.
Blues have the puck. Thomas off the wall. Shoots, and it's in. They score! It's the St. Louisan, Pat Maroon. Bring out the Zamboni. Pat Maroon just put the city on his shoulders, and he saved them to the conference finals.
Now, here are Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan KFNS and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with Martin Kilcoyne. And we are broadcasting live from the Arbors of Frontenac, McBride Homes' new spectacular luxury villa enclave. It's just unbelievable. 31 luxury villas located off Clayton Road, just east of Spady. This used to be Wright School, where I actually went to kindergarten, and we used to come up here on the 8-foot baskets and dunk all the time. And now it's just, it's heaven.
I believe the phrase is squatters. When you take over a house and you refuse to leave, I think there's a decent chance Frank and I might just hole up here. We'll order out. Sugo's, Lester's just down the road. Although the fine folks from McBride have brought us some Panera, so we've got breakfast. It's absolutely stunning. The unit we're in, the high ceilings, everything is perfect.
Now, you know I said the Mizzou new locker rooms are the best ever. Well, these bathrooms are the best ever. Martin, in the master shower, they have Alexa hooked up that you can just say, Alexa, warmer. Alexa, colder water. And Alexa, more music. I'm just inside the shower.
Alexa, turn off Strickland. Whatever it is, whatever your request is, music and otherwise, it's right off Clayton Road. For years, that school that you went to, then it was abandoned for a while. But right up the road from Lindbergh, you've probably driven by it on Clayton. It is worth checking out. It's beautiful.
All right, we have a good guest list today. And ironically, our first guest, Hale Irwin, grew up literally, not grew up, but lived for about 30 years right across the street. He's going to join us at 10:30, one of the great golfers of all time, who has just received a tremendous honor from the PGA. Dan Buck is going to be on location, Martin.
Yeah, Dan developing big sports properties, people wondering the Blues are leaving the Mills. Of course, that mall itself has been either vacant or close to it for a number of years. Anybody who has either gone to a Blues practice as a fan or a media member, you know that the Mills, the outlet mall in Hazelwood, it needs something to happen. And Dan and his group are bringing a huge sports complex. Bradley Beal is bringing his basketball program. They're going to be headquartered out there. So Dan will give us the latest on what's going to take place with the outlet mall becoming a sports complex like no other.
And our superstar guest of the day, the one and only Reggie Sanders, the former All-Star, the former world champion, really one of the nicest guys I think we've ever met.
What's the first thing everybody says when you mention Reggie Sanders?
The smile.
The smile.
Yep.
Yep. Rich Gould and I were talking yesterday about the 04 team. And the topic started loosely saying, you know, should you celebrate a team that doesn't win a championship? Is a National League champion team, is that enough to celebrate? And I said, I have to be honest. On this topic, I'm biased because I really just – I love that 04 team. And Rich said, God, they had so many great players. When you mention four guys before you even get to a Reggie Sanders, maybe six guys, and then you add Larry Walker, but Sanders, he said, boy, he had the best smile ever.
Yeah.
And maybe one of the nicest guys ever.
You know, Busch Stadium to Channel 5 is not – it's not like five steps. He walked there to be up on one of our shows on a Sunday night. He said, let's just walk. And so he and I just walk back and forth. What a grind.
Let's see. Now, who would be a candidate? I don't even know if you can get a rookie to do that. Maybe John Brebbia.
Brebbia, maybe.
I'm trying to think of guys right now.
DeYoung, maybe before the three home runs, but now he's like.
You know what? I noted something about him, and I know we comment a lot on media interactions, but I think sometimes it's revealing a person, how they were raised or their personality in general. when he sees somebody, whether it says, hey, Frank, or does an interview with Mark Saxon, all right, thanks, Mark, or he sees Rob Reigns, hi, Rob, he kind of goes out of his way to say people's names, all right, hey, thanks for the time.
Yeah.
He's had a very professional approach since the day he arrived.
He's got about three or four names down. He's good at that. Yeah,
yeah, I don't know if I've gotten a Melvin or a Morton. I'm not saying we're tight, but I've noticed it over the years.
Goldschmidt is such a superstar and such a nice guy. I don't know if he'd walk a quarter of a mile, but it would be tough to think that he would say no.
Correct. He may have been more like – no, he'd be more likely now because he's playing better.
Yeah.
He probably would have turned it down in the past, not because he's gloating, because I think he just feels like he's truly contributing now.
All right, our opening monologue is brought to you by the great people at Worldwide Technology Raceway. Let's begin with lap one. So, Martin, I said and I texted earlier in the season – that 10 years from now, we may be saying that Paul DeJong is the second-best Cardinal shortstop post-World War II. Ozzie's the best. Then all of a sudden, the texts start flying. Hey, Dick Groat, Marty Marion. And then, basically, it's all been about Edgar Renteria. And believe me, I have nothing but respect for Edgar Renteria. 2,000 hits, you know, a world champion, great clutch player. But Paul DeJong is 52 points higher OPS. He is 80 points higher slugging. And then he had a night like he did last night.
And DeJong sends one out to deep left. Dickerson back near the wall. It is gone. It's a home run, and we're tied at two. And DeJong hits it out to left center. It's at the wall. Goodbye. Paul DeJong, his second two-run homer tonight. And DeJong hits one out to deep center. At the wall, it's gone! Paul DeJong does it again. It's a three home run night.
Found my rhythm today. Got some pitches to hit and didn't miss them. You know, fun day overall as a group. A lot of action for us. So it's great to get that third win here, but I won't forget.
So, Martin, if at the end of the season he's at 30 and he's rock steady in the field, I just think he's going to be special for a long time. Now, believe me, the statement is 10 years from now. Let's see what happens. But he's on pace to be one of the greats.
It's pretty rare you have a shortstop with legit power.
Yeah.
Like, Renteria could hit the occasional home run. He wasn't just a slap hitter. But this is a different kind of power with DeJong. And we saw it from the first time he arrived. Cooled off a little bit last year.
Got hurt.
But Andy Van Slyke, and when he came back, the hand thing, I think we probably didn't take enough into consideration when he came back that he was coming off that hand injury. But Van Slyke said what he noticed is that he had changed his approach, that he was a better hitter this year, that he had done some things differently. And you could tell he kind of works at his craft. It's great to have a shortstop who could hit 30 home runs. I mean, how often?
Yeah. How about this, too? So after last night, and we're not even in August, he has more home runs in July than Edgar Renteria ever hit in a season. So he is something else.
And I know the last one was off a position player, but they all count.
Absolutely. Lap two. So we thought the 10-run inning last weekend was special, but last night's 9-run second was better in one sense. 8 extra base hits. No team in history has ever had more. 4 have matched it with the 8 extra base hits in an inning. You know what's really intriguing to me is this Andrew Kisner. Now, I know he's only hitting 154, but if you look at his minor league resume, it's a lengthy one. It is unbelievable. And he had another moment last night.
Here's Kisner. That's a drive. And that, folks, is a home run, his first in the big leagues. Andrew Kisner, his first in the major leagues, a two-run homer. And the Cardinals add on. It's now 5-2.
That was really nice. I think it was extra special because I had a ton of family in the stands. My dad's side of the family is from Pittsburgh, so I had a full cheering section. So it was nice to hit that home run, but especially in front of all my family.
And none of the preceding praise has anything to do with the fact that he's a great talker. It'll be a go-to guy for you and I for the next 5 years.
That never comes into play on this show,
not at all.
Does it? When the Cardinals would be down, and this is something I was in the car for a little bit, John Rooney and Ricky Horton were talking about it last night. When they would fall down 2-0 a month ago, 2 months ago, Rooney said it felt like it was 20-0. Like you had no confidence that they would come back. If a pitcher gave up 3 early like Hudson did the other night, you sort of assumed it was over. You probably made a snide comment to yourself or on Twitter and said, oh, well, they're done. And now with the way they're hitting, and granted, it's Pittsburgh, it's Cincinnati, but the way they're hitting, you give up two or three early. Wainwright didn't look like he was long for that game. He was lucky they scored all those runs because it allowed him to stay out there. And a certain colleague of ours, maybe named Chuck, was a little upset because I believe he might have been facing Wainwright in fantasy. But he said, how is he going to get a win out of this? And I believe he was facing him in his league.
I'm not sure how much show prep Chuck was doing for his 11 o'clock show last night. Because at about 9:30, he basically offered me like 11 players for Mike Trout.
He was sitting right next to me, and we were producerless. He was kind of helping me with some stuff. Now I know, because he said, I'm a little busy over here. Now I know why.
He offered me. It was a 70s KMOX Sports Open line trade. You know, Luis Melendez and Reggie Cleveland and Daryl Porter for Bob Gibson. It was crazy.
He's going to package up anything he had laying around. But Wainwright does get a win out of it.
Yeah. All right, lap three. I wonder, Martin, if the players are making a statement. I think their play and this streak is indicating that it's time for the general manager to step up, get some help. You know, are they saying, hey, look, we've won 10 out of 12. The franchise is feeling it. The bullpen is brilliant. I meant the franchise as in Paul Goldschmidt. They have three starters in a groove, Hudson, Flaherty, and Michaelis. They need a fourth. It's not Waino unless it's a Sunday afternoon game at Busch Stadium. It doesn't appear to be Ponce de Leon either. I think John Mozeliak's got to go to work now. Four-year drought is not a good thing. Players are telling him, hey, we can do this thing with a little bit of help.
And they were the ones who talked about the urgency or the phrases like, we're all in 2019. If the team was sitting right at 500, you probably would have to reconsider that approach, even though fans wouldn't accept that. If you're the front office and you're being realistic and the team's sitting at 500, but now they've made a move here. They've given you every reason to double down on them or to invest. The division itself is left wide open. There's no reason not to be bold or aggressive at the trade deadline.
So if this is
confident they will be, but there really is no reason because you've said we don't accept missing out on October. We're all in on 2019. And now you got a team that's surging post All-Star break that's sitting there. They're basically tied with the Cubs in the loss column.
By 3 o'clock today, you could be tied for first.
They have the same number of losses. They're even in the loss column. They have one less win because they played one less game. So everything you wanted to see out of this team, okay, we hope they'll play better. We think Goldschmidt will start hitting. You're having a second half surge. You're 10-3 since the break. There's no excuse at the deadline not to do something.
All right, lap four. So yesterday we had the great Lester Munson on, the former legal analyst at ESPN, is one of the best in the country. We asked him about the Rams lawsuit against Stan and the NFL. The case alleges breach of contract, fraud, illegal enrichment, and interference in business by the NFL and Kroenke. How much money does Lester think our city could win against Stan and the NFL?
Well, I think I added all this up one time. And I came up with close to $1 billion, counting the various damages that St. Louis would present. There may be problems of proof in there that I have not anticipated, but we're certainly talking hundreds of millions. I would say just to try to be realistic, try to be conservative, something like $400 or $500 million would be a potential verdict. Then you have to defend that in the higher courts. Higher courts tend to reduce these mammoth judgments. But, they have a powerful claim based on the lying that went on, and then they have some damage claims that are going to be very interesting.
So let's just say, Martin, it's $300 million, and Stan's responsible for half of that. It'd be nice to see him write a check for $150 million.
Yeah, at this point, punitive matters. At this point, I mean, the money will help wherever it gets sprinkled in the city or the county. But at this point, you do want to see somebody pay a little bit, both figurative, literal. And Lester's a guy who does his homework. I mean, we asked a question about what would decide this case, and he was literally, you know, old school, kind of fumbling through his notes, and he brought up the Jeff Fisher quote that we probably haven't talked a lot about, but it was after he got fired in December of 2016, and he basically was upset. Like, I did what they wanted. I got him to L.A., and now I'm getting fired. And I forget the exact quote, but he was saying, I was brought in to bring this team out here. So Fisher, if they get on the stand, and I know they probably will try and avoid taking the stand, Maybe some settlement will be in play. I don't know. But I really want to see it play out in the courts. I really want to see people on the stand.
So Fisher could help. I guess the guy I'd want to see on the stand the most would be Kroenke even more than Demoff. But I just somehow I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't. Guys like that, you just don't see them. With all that money, whether it's right or wrong, you just never see them in that vulnerable of a position. And I'm not confident Demoff would take the stand and tell the truth.
Good point, All right, lap five. So, Martin, yesterday we did a story on a 105-year-old golfer, Jay Strauss, Westwood Country Club, wonderful guy. Martin, he's 105. He drives. He lives alone. He dates. He goes to Lester's. He plays cards. He goes to the country club to hang out with the fellas and eat good lunch 3 or 4 days a week when he's not golfing. I'm thinking, if I could have that life, I would gladly take it at 105. But the odds of that are just extremely low. And you know what I was thinking, too? And I know that I don't want to sound like a Nicholas Sparks novel. And I know Monique's not listening, so I'm not trying to get brownie points.
This is your first wife you're referring to?
Yes, my first wife, Monique.
I'm going to just start referring to it as your first wife.
I don't know if I really want to live a day without Monique. I don't want to, like wake up without her. I really wouldn't. I couldn't imagine it. I wouldn't want it. And keep in mind, this is the same woman who said she would do to me what Laura Dern did to her husband in Pretty Little Lies after he really screwed up. But, you know, I'd like to be 105 if Monique was there, but I don't really want to live without her.
If you live to be 105, and I'm not sure when this gentleman's wife passed, but you could be a widow for 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a long time. You did say he's dating. Probably a younger gal, 90-ish.
She looks like she's in her 80s. But I saw him at Lester's a month ago. And I go, who's this young lady? Oh, this is my girlfriend.
You know what's funny is yesterday I was thinking of this time of year, football season, guests that we can have on the show. I'm like, you know, we haven't had in a while is our buddy Jim Steiner. And I'm watching, and he pops up on your show as part of that piece. I'm like, I want to get – I was actually thinking Steiner probably could have come by today, and then he pops up on your show. I was just thinking about him this week, the great Jim Steiner. And I say that because when he introduces himself, he says, I'm the great Jim Steiner.
In fact, he said, Frank, you look good, almost as good as me.
Oh, no, but 105, if you can have not only
play
the health.
Golf and have lunch. And
but also he's with it.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
There's 105 when you're laying in a hospital bed, and there's 105 eating lunch and playing golf. Everybody would take that.
Here's what I wonder, and Steiner jokingly asked this of Jay yesterday. Jay, are you about ready to run out of money? I mean, I don't care how much money you made and what kind of financial planning you did. Nobody's planning on living to 105, you know?
But I noticed he took a lot of money from people on the golf course. Maybe that's his backup plan is to sandbag on the golf course.
Let me tell you one quick little thing. You're probably too young to remember this, but there used to be in a wallet size in a little container, like a little wallet thing, the rosters of all 30 NFL teams. So at the New York Giants, and there'd be a numerical roster on a little card. He used to sell these. That was part of his business. He was an entrepreneur. And so one day, and I'm not very good on eBay, he said, could you have Alex come over to the house? He goes, I'd like to put these on eBay. So he's got maybe 2,000 of them. So Alex put them on eBay for him, and he's made some money on these things.
This is Steiner or Jay?
No, Jay.
The old Jay.
Yeah, and these are 1970.
I thought Jim was selling his Rolodex or something.
No. Well, that would be good.
But, so this guy was a collector, memorabilia?
Yeah, and he actually produced these things, and they used to sell, it was long before the internet, where you didn't know who was on each team, and you could buy these at Walgreens or, those old-time grocery stores or –
I can't picture it.
Yeah,
but
it was a little before your time.
Was it sold kind of like a trading card?
Yes,
you bought it as
exactly. And it'd have every name on every team in the NFL, and it came in a nice little plastic case. So, all right, lap six. Stream of consciousness, more reason to love Jose Martinez. Did you see the stunt he tried to pull after the Kisner home run? He alerted all of his teammates to acknowledge to not acknowledge Kinzer when he got to the dugout. And I think only Willie McGee, shook hands with Kinzer after the home run. Did you see what he was doing there? He organized that really well.
I didn't see that part. I was in the car.
It was immediate, too. As soon as Kisner goes yard, Jose starts shaking his hands to everyone.
Let him know.
Starts yelling at everyone. People started like getting kind of like into the walkway to kind of celebrate him, and he's telling people clear out to the sides to do the classic thing they were doing. And yeah, it didn't work as well as I thought it was going to.
Yeah, of course, Willie is too nice to not to go along.
Right,
with
Willie's probably like, that's rude. I'm not doing that.
I thought faking out the kids on their first homer was like. Something everybody did. I thought it was just like every team does that.
I don't know when it started becoming in vogue. It might have been long after Willie was playing. But I love when they do that. Kisner talked about it in the postgame. He said he knew it was coming. Yeah. Like, I guess if you get to the dugout and nobody congratulates you, you kind of know what's going on. And he said his dad being from Pittsburgh, the good thing is if you want to see your son play and it's a game in Pittsburgh, you can have a section or two. It's just
plenty of seats.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Such a beautiful park and not a terrible team. But there's always – if you're a Cardinal fan wanting to go on the road, Wrigley's so hard to get tickets, you should probably go to Pittsburgh.
Finally, I got a text from Larry Thornton, who knows the prep scene as well as anybody, prep recruiting scene as well as anybody. I want Mizzou fans to listen to this. He said DeSmet has maybe three of the four best running backs in the area and seven of the top 12 juniors in the state. I'm not saying this to brag about the Spartans, but do you know their coach is Rob Steeples? Do you know that he ended up playing for at Memphis? Barry Odom, the defensive coordinator at the time. And they are as thick as thieves. Do you know what school actually has more talent than DeSmet, perhaps? Probably CBC, but Trinity probably has the most. Do you know who their coach is? Terrence Curry. Do you know who his teammate was in college? You guessed it, Barry Odom. I'm telling you, this guy has connections. The recruiting in the area is pretty good for the first time, and who knows, it may end up being great.
It'd be an amazing turnaround because the early narrative on Barry was they were, I mean, 2-3 years in a row was 0 for St. Louis. If they can get some of the Trinity kids, the DeSmet kids, because of that connection, and you mentioned that they were teammates, it's one thing to be teammates, but another thing, teammates that liked each other.
Yeah,
and
that's
the fact
a good
that they're,
because
you could say, I was teammates, I didn't really care for them, but if they're really good friends, and it is more fun for us and for fans, not us meaning the media, us meaning people in St. Louis. Like when Macklin was there, if he had been a highly recruited kid from Dallas, it still would have been fun. Like we love Chase Daniel. But the whole Macklin experience was better because you knew him from Kirkwood and you saw him play in high school. It would be great to see those kids go down there.
All right, we'll take a short time out. Hollywood Casino, one of our title sponsors. We appreciate them being a part of the program. Go to Hollywood Casino's website. Find out about the specials at 99 Hops House. Have a great dinner at Final Cut Steakhouse, the all-you-can-eat buffet. And check in on the Hollywood Amphitheater. It is outstanding. We'll take a break. We are broadcasting live basically from heaven. This is the Arbors of Frontenac, another McBride Homes beautiful
masterpiece.
That's the way to describe it. Some people are going up there to check out the bedrooms upstairs. It is just spectacular. We'll talk with Aaron Hankins a little bit later in the program. We'll be right back.